The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Again, a live program for you, my friends. We're looking at another very lovely and interesting day. I don't think we're going to have a monsoon today, so get out and enjoy it. Have some fun doing it. And, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I'm always learning little pieces of information that serve to help our patients, but to serve you and things that I want you to know about. You know, I put myself on the chopping block several times over the last 2.5 years now, has it been? And to try to give you information that's maybe a little different than typical mainstream. And the reason I do that is because I want to get you to think about certain situations and ask yourself the question and ask others the question, is the information right? Is it wrong? Is it manipulated? Is it applicable? Is it something that you can take action on that is not being directed for a very particular agenda? So my job is to kind of ignore the agendas, but to make sure that you have the data so you can help yourself and move things forward. So, you know, I'll give you an example in our practice. Somebody comes in with fibromyalgia, and the traditional press is going to tell you, well, take this because it's blunt this, but they don't tell you why it activates, what the problem is behind it. So what I want to do in those type of situations, I want to say, stop, let's break this apart and let's look at the body as a integrated, very specific entity that has math, it has chemistry, it has all those things that can be judged and it can be quantified and it can be measured. Well, what we're going to talk about today is something that it's a product that we'll get into, but the conditions are things that we've been now putting up with for the last 2.5 years and arguably before that. So how many of you have been suffering, or how many of you actually have had COVID? How many of you have been vaccinated? How many of you had the booster shots? And we're still seeing, oh my God, you know, we're still fighting this stupidity, this craziness, this COVID, whatever 100th variant it is down the road. And it continues to change. And one thing I want to put out to you when it comes to just talking about any viral pattern, regardless of what it is, a virus tries and tends to survive. And how it does that is by replicating itself in a very different pattern. It means it's a variant. So the variant of the variant of the variant of the variant, and now you've got another variant. So when we started out with the SARS-CoV, you know, this coronavirus, this respiratory problem, and then it morphed into something else, and it morphed into something else, because your body then tries to protect you. So we've been struggling to pull a lot of people out of the mess, and we were very successful actually during the height of this thing 2 years ago to help people in a lot of different ways with neurological stimulation, structural manipulation, acupuncture, detoxification protocols, and a lot of very specific herbal preparations, including oleander, and referring people out for ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and other things that work, you know, ozone therapies and the like, and they worked. And with other doctors that were in part of the research pattern, we were very successful in saving a lot of lives. About what this is all about today, we're going to make a difference in what, you know, what this looks like today. But more importantly, what I wish I would have known about 2.5 years ago. You know, for centuries, there's been products out there that have worked very, very well for all kinds of things that are now being applied offline, if you will. And that means for other applications. And we're going to talk about this as the show goes on. There's a product that I've been aware of, and I've used for anxiety, and I've used for depression, and I've used for mental deficits that patients suffer for all kinds of reasons, to increase circulatory patterns to the brain. But we found out that this product has very significant impact antivirally and antimicrobial. And now, when I was turned on to this, I started doing the research. I went into PubMed, I went to NIH, and I'm starting to say, oh my God, this stuff actually works. We knew that it had the effect of helping to upregulate immunological reactions, but I didn't know until very recently how profoundly effective it is with COVID, with other viral patterns, with Epstein-Barr virus, with HIV, and the research is obviously not in this country as much as it's overseas, but we're seeing the literature now. We're going to talk about that as we go through. So this historical use of this herb, and it actually goes back a couple thousand years ago, dating back to the Greeks. And for centuries, you know, people have successfully used this product for the treatment of things like depression, as we talked about a minute ago, and anxiety, and even sleep disorders and regulations, and immune support and wound healing and menstrual cramping with women and kidney dysfunction and lung problems and so forth. And it's, you know, it's used orally, and there's some, cream and ointment applications, but the oral liquid form combined with a couple of the things seem to be the best. But from anxiety to even bedwetting and dyspepsia and excitability and, you know, leg pain, sciatica, pulmonary complaints, and it goes on and on and on and on. And we know that the antidepressive use of this substance was significant. It works well. There's tons of research out there. Clinical studies have shown, you know, that it's a real deal, and they've really taken it apart. And we're going to talk about that. And it's even been used to as a vermifuge, or what they call an anti-hemolytic or hemolymphatic, product, where it will allow worms to be purged from the body. So you're going to be very excited when I tell you what this is, because we found a way of using this with other applications, and it's having a profound effect on people who are repetitively becoming, if you can, reinfected with COVID, you know, getting it again and again and again. There's several people, even our president, you know, of this country has had it a couple times, maybe three. And, you know, why is that? You know, we go back to using oleander, and it stopped the replication of the viral pattern. But I didn't know about this until recently. And that really irritates me, that I had no idea that it was being used. But, you know, shame on me for not going overseas, and shame on all of us, you know, for not holding other people responsible for the things that are out there that apparently work so well, and to be able to save lives and so forth. But again, this herb, if you will, and it is an herb, and I'll tell you what it is, you know, as we come back into the second part of the program, this herb has been traditionally used for depression. And, you know, we talked about hormonal dysregulation, menopausal symptoms, and also andropause, with men, and attention deficit disorders. And that one I didn't know about either, except the correlation that it increases the circulatory pattern and calms the system and puts it more in a parasympathetic state, you know, somatic disorders. All of these things seem to be attributable to the use of the different components within this herbal product. Then combined with other things, it's like, oh my God, this is the real deal, and it can make a huge difference with what's going on. And by the way, I'm here at 888-630-9625. Love to take your questions today. And, you know, we'll, you know, talk about all kinds of little nuances. But as we go through the program, I'm going to tell you about this thing. And when combined with different approaches, other things that are attributable to the person themselves, these post-COVID patterns, these reinfectious rates, the initial piece of COVID, the variants can be highly manageable based on the literature that's out there, not based on me, not based on Dr. Tom Rozell, because I've used this, but I never used it before. We used it to support immune function, but it works well for viral situations across the board. But we're going to talk about it as it applies to all these post-COVID crazy things that we've been seeing, and the anxiety patterns, the depression patterns, the heart dysregulation, all of that stuff, which so many people suffer from and wonder where they came from. There's someone that I know right now that has come up with COVID, tested positive, sore throat, and so forth, and the third time. And we've seen that so many different ways throughout the last several months. People are getting reinfected. Why? I thought the vaccines and the booster shots were working. I thought once you got something, you know, it was done. Well, maybe not so true in so many different cases, but this product is one that is very highly available. It's the dosage that's important, and it, when combined with other pieces, it really turns itself around. It's when we talk about it, it's named after someone that, going back historically a couple thousand years ago, it was used in someone who was dying, and we'll talk about what that is, so forth, as we go through the program. But if you've been suffering from any of these things, you may have used this product, when I tell you what it is, as an antidepressant or as something that might help forestall the onset of dementia, because it's been used historically for that. So if you're all jacked up, you know, and anxious and going into fits of up and down, this has been used for that as well. So we're really going to get into the why. We're going to talk about the historical uses of this. And, you know, when I tell you what it is, you're going to say, what? How, you know, how come? And we're going to try to talk about that as well. But, you know, as you go through, there's so many herbs out there that have offline applications, things that we didn't think about, but have been used behind the scenes. But when we're with this particular product, it's an astringent as well. It's been used for cuts and abrasions and hemorrhoids and inflammation and insect bites. And I mean, it's like, this is the magic wand, really. Well, even Dr. Tom Rozell, who's been using this stuff for 45 years, I didn't know that it had an effect and impact as significantly as it does patterns. And trust me, we're starting to do our own clinical observations and research and trying to find out, you know, does this stuff really work, and then measure it. But this has what we know about the COVID viral pattern is that it has a bad tendency to activate Epstein-Barr virus, EBV. And because of that, there's immunological system gets kicked in the pants, it gets knocked down, and now you become much more susceptible to other things. 100% of the U.S. population, adult population above age 21, 22 years old, if you did the test for Epstein-Barr virus, you're going to find that everybody's been exposed to it. You know, back in the day when we were kids in high school, it was called what? Mononucleosis. But it's the same viral entity. And so subsequently, this goes into dormancy like so many other viruses because, you know, we're exposed to hundreds of them, by the way. Don't let anybody fool you. Hundreds of them. And it depends on our immunological responses, whether or not we get something or we don't get something. And Epstein-Barr virus can be devastating, can get into joint spaces. It can cause all kinds of immunological reception, meaning exposures and susceptibilities. But when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about it. I'm going to let you know what it is. And I promise you, I'm going to do my homework and my research, and we're going to continue moving forward with this. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Don't go away. I'll be right back with the name of the product that we're talking about. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, and we're talking about something that has got my attention. You know, it's I'm this crazy guy that when I hear something that I didn't know before, I spend like days looking things up. And somebody that I was talking to, I have a tremendous amount of respect for, a colleague that is part of the International College of Applied Kinesiology. And when I was the international chairman, was on my board, and we got to talking about a couple things. And I asked him, says, by the way, Jay, I said, what do you know about long COVID and people who are going? He says, oh, my God, Tom. He said, didn't you realize? And he started talking about the activation of Epstein-Barr virus relative to COVID. And that's, we know that the articles are out there. And I said, yeah, I know that. I said, that's how we've been approaching it. Epstein-Barr has been dramatically activated, particularly in long COVID patterns. He said, yeah, absolutely. And he said, so have you used a certain product? And I said, you know, you got to be kidding me. What are you talking about? Well, what he was talking about is Hypericum perforatum. And what is it called? It's called St. John's wort. And I said, you have to be kidding me. St. John's wort? I said, but you've used it for years for all kinds of different things. He said, yeah, but have you heard about the application? And we went through it and we talked and talked. And I'm getting excited. And when that happens, I start doing research and I start looking into it. And, you know, we've seen articles across the board forever now on, you know, double mRNA COVID-19 vaccine found to increase SARS-CoV-2 variant, production recognition and so forth. It does. We know that, you know, the features of newly emerging SARS-CoV-2 Omicron BA, 2.75 or 0.75 subvariant. And it starts talking about all these offshoots, right? And then how common chronic fatigue syndrome among patients with long COVID. And, you know, they talk about the mental anxiety that goes along with it and so forth. And all of these things we've known about and we've been treating them and, you know, successfully more so than not successful, but there's people that we still can't get to completely. And that's what makes me stay up at night. That's what makes me get crazy because we're using combinations of acupuncture and neurological stimulation and low energy light laser and detoxification. And we've used a tremendous amount of different herbs and homeopathics with great results. But I didn't know about the application of St. John's wort in connection with some other herbs like echinacea, which is two different forms of it, and lemon balm. And there's that piece as well. And it has to be a specific species of this stuff. So I started looking it up and I found some articles, New Life Sciences. And the first article I found went back to January 17th, 2021. So it's been around. And it was a reporter who has a bachelor of science degree. Her name is Sally Robertson, who was doing the research. And the research came out of Saudi Arabia, of all places. And in Saudi, they conducted a study demonstrating the antiviral effects of two very commonly used and very strong medicinal herbs against this SARS-CoV-2 viral, you know, respiratory syndrome, and that the agents causing the coronavirus, right? These are the guys that have set up COVID-19 and the like. So they started talking about the analysis of Hypericum, and it's called Hypericum perforatum, and that's St. John's wort. And the two species of echinacea, one's called purple cone flower, and show that each herb, when combined with Hypericum, showed a dramatic, significant inhibitory, basically a killing effect on the COVID vaccine. So, or the COVID virus. So, but the next step was we know that it does that, but we also know that particularly in long haulers, we have an activation of Epstein-Barr virus and it goes through the ceiling. I mean, it gets really, really high. So the effects were most potent against the cells when they use this Hypericum or St. John's wort in combination with echinacea and lemon balm. And I said, wow, this is something. So obviously I started reading more and more and more and doing the research. And I'm saying, okay, I can't wait to get in the office because we've got to start testing people who we know that we're dealing with who have the problem. So we have all of this stuff now that's sitting there that was known that didn't come into this country. And it's like, why? Why didn't it come into this country? Why weren't we using it? Why weren't we told, you know, even guys like me who use this all the time, right, don't get it. We're coming up to a break, and I'm going to get into the details of this and also the applications that we're beginning to put together that in conjunction with the other things that we know about and that we're doing can make a huge difference, I think, in how we go after this. Because we know with post-syndrome COVID, we've got, right, we've got anxiety, we've got depression, we've got fibrillation, we've got muscle stuff going on and so forth. This may be the missing piece. I don't know, but we're going to find out. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this break, and we're going to talk about this more in depth.
Dr. Tom Roselle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. Got an interesting program for you. I think you already know that. And we're talking about COVID again, and but we're talking about long haulers. We're talking about the activation of Epstein-Barr virus as a result of COVID, because that's what really was taking place. And Epstein-Barr virus at high levels can be devastating. It can break joint spaces down. It can steal all kinds of, you know, normal responses to keep you well. And it can, you can succumb to problems that you didn't know that you had, but you've had this latent Epstein-Barr that's just kind of sitting back there. And, you know, at the end of the day, many of the things that we've known and we've treated somewhat effectively through this whole thing, and better than most medical approaches, we know that there's been things out there like ivermectin in the initial stages and hydroxychloroquine and so forth that worked extremely, extremely well. And, you know, all of us that knew about those things and just got outraged the fact that it was being held back. But back in the herbal world, my world, the area that we do a lot of investigation in, there's been a product that's been sitting there that we didn't know had this profound effect, because over the years, it was actually used for treating anxiety and depression and blood flow and even menstrual problems and ADD and so forth, any brain functional related situations. But what it also is used for is a very strong antiviral and antimicrobial. It's crazy. I didn't realize we knew that it upregulated immune response, but I didn't realize until recently how effective it was against viral patterns. So, you know, doing what I do, I get into the news and the medical journals and I start looking, and I particularly go overseas, and I came across a news reporting agency and a paper that I spent a lot of time in. It's called News Medical Life Sciences. And I started digging into it and I said, oh my gosh, here it is. It's like everybody knows about this except for me. And I found out about this through a very dear friend, a colleague who was on my board when I was head of the International Applied Kinesiology Association. Now, effective antivirals are needed to help our body's immunological system strengthen itself and move forward, not only when it comes to COVID-19, but any kind of viral situations. One of the most devastating viral patterns that we have and that we have to deal with is Epstein-Barr virus. And it just sits there, it's dormant. 100% of the population, adult population in the United States, has been exposed to it. And if you did viral load, you're going to find that you have at least a low level of antibody to it. And it's okay as long as it stays asleep. But if it gets activated, like apparently it did with SARS-CoV-2, then it goes off the Richter scale and you start experiencing all the devastation that can be associated with it, from heart problems and joint space and anxiety patterns, and it goes on and on and on. So almost most SARS-CoV-2 infections can cause mild to moderate problems across the board. And then we have long COVID, which we see people not able to recover from. And it goes on and on, and it affects their heart. It affects their anxiety, and their whole persona begins to change. And, you know, the characteristics of this problem, you can have vascular problem, the vasculitis. And if you have clotting that occurs, well, unfortunately, you're talking about strokes and heart disease and so forth. We're talking about, you know, multiple organ damage that can lead to the person dying, but that usually happens in a short time. That's usually COVID itself. It's not anything after that. The advanced disease, you know, can be caused by the overproduction of cytokines. You've heard that word forever. Things like, for example, TNF-alpha, interleukin-6, interferon, gamma. These are all not good things that you want in your system. And although some of the vaccines protecting against COVID-2 interferon have recently become available, the efficiency, the efficacy is a topic of debate. We know that they don't work, right? All of a sudden they said they were going to work and they were going to keep you safe and you weren't going to get COVID. And now we see people who are vaccinated and people who have had the boosters are the ones that are more susceptible to all this craziness. They're getting reinfected multiple times. The literature's there. It's not coming from me. I'm looking at it right now and, you know, it's straight up. It's about that. So we learned that Hypericum, or St. John's wort, you know, has been around forever, and the medicinal effects, its capacity to do things, have been well known. What I didn't know was how effective it actually was, directly effective, for viral infections. In studies, you know, in the laboratory studies and so forth, they've demonstrated that Hypericum is very effective with bronchitis and so forth, but also with hepatitis, also with coronaviruses and SARS-CoV-2 and the like. That's amazing. Why didn't we know about that? Why wasn't this, you know, front line? It's so easily available. It's there. And then combined, you know, with things like lemon balm and combined with different species of echinacea, combined with exosome, combined with the other products that are out there, all of a sudden you've given your body the capacity, the ability to fight something that it was only minimally able to do because our immune systems, number one, are so damn beat up anyway. So, you know, in these studies that have been done, it shows that we know that echinacea, which is a very common herb, and we know that there's a couple species of it that are very effective in health, you know, influences cytokine production, these pieces that we just talked about, the interleukin 6 and so forth and so on, and increases expression of lymphocyte white blood cell activation markers, something called CD69, which nobody measures unless you actually specifically ask for it. Even when you're doing an immune panel, nobody goes after the thing. And what happens, that CD69, because it's activated, dramatically reduces the severity of the problem. Isn't that interesting, right? Why didn't we know that? Or better yet, why weren't we told that when the information has been out there? And someone like me who uses herbs like this all the time for other types of products and just to help a little bit in upregulation of immune response didn't know how effective and how impactful this actually is. So you combine it with the other things, you detox the body, you use lasers, you know, to low energy light lasers to help, not cutting lasers, and you get the immune system to peak with acupuncture and neurological stimulation. Wow, now you got something. And I'm, you know, we're going to have a staff meeting this next week, and I'm putting protocols in place that we're going to be treating patients who come in with pain and, you know, anxiety and depression and for a little differently because we're going to start using this. But the literature is clear. It's really straight up. It shows the effect. They've got the data. It's not something that we're hallucinating. It's right up there in front of us. The mode of action was assessed using three different approaches when they did the research. And now we're going back to Saudi Arabia, right? This is where the first thing came about. Direct treatment of viruses infected the cell, pre-treatment of the cells prior to viral infection, and these virucidal activity against an assay, the measurement of it across the board. You know, I want you to think about something. During this whole COVID outbreak, remember that we didn't hear much from, you know, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We didn't hear much about their really getting devastatingly sick. I wonder if it was because they knew something that we didn't know and that they were using something that we weren't using. I just wonder. I just, you know, I'm a curious sort of guy. I just, you know, put questions out like that and try to figure it out as we go through. But quantitative, real-time chain reactions was used to measure the mRNA, the messenger RNA expression of the RNA dependent polymer, okay, the gene, the viral load, and the viruses, you know, how do we neutralize it? So they looked at it on an ongoing basis. This is active time stuff. They looked at it 12 hours, they looked at 16 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours, and 40 hours post-infection. And they were doing this in laboratory studies. So what did the study find? What did they see? When virus-infected cells were treated with extracts, strong extracts of Hypericum, St. John's wort, it showed the greatest efficiency. And they went through and they saw that certain concentrations inhibited 50% immediately. And then combined with echinacea, and there's a certain mixture that it dramatically increased, ultimately putting into dormancy. And they're looking at about a 90-day treatment pattern that was extraordinarily effective. Now, I don't know all the story. I don't know other things that they may have added to that, but I can tell you it wasn't a vaccine. I can tell you that they didn't treat it like we did with respirators. I can tell you that they approached it differently, and I can tell you that their infection rate was different, but also their death rate and the mortality and morbidity rates were completely different. The greatest reduction in viral load was observed in Hypericum with a mixture of echinacea and lemon balm. And they used that, and what they saw is the mixture, they call it viral load for 36 hours, I think is what it was. And I got to look at my notes because I wrote all this stuff down before the program for you. And echinacea, was reduced within 24 hours of the addition of the combination of those things. They saw it drop dramatically. So if that was the case, why didn't we know about it? Why? Because you could walk in the damn health food store and pick up a bottle of St. John's wort, and if they didn't have it with echinacea, you can get some echinacea. And if you wanted lemon balm, you can get it, and you can put together. And even if you didn't have the concentrations, you could do something to help yourself. So the question in this crazy man's mind is, why? How come? Why was it put? Why wasn't it even put out there so we could talk about it, discuss it, put it down? It's the same reason that everything else happened, in my opinion, humbly, that this was, you know, it's like the ultimate of control, and we're still scared to death because, you know, when I watch people that are out there still riding bicycles with masks on, when I watch people out there that are running and going through exercise with masks on, and I'm saying, oh my God, you know, what's the deal here? Why is this taking place? Why are we so petrified when this is a nothing situation unless you're immunologically suppressed? But anything that causes immunological suppression and exposure to other things, you know, can be problematic. But we're talking about Epstein-Barr virus activation, which seems to be the piece. That's the one that we really are trying to get. I'm trying to get my head around and say, I didn't know that COVID activated that dramatically Epstein, except serendipitously, because we saw it happen repetitively with many patients over the last 2.5 years. They said, I don't feel good. They show viral symptoms. They weren't showing positive. They were not showing positive for COVID, but we did the viral load tests on them. We did the antibody tests. And what did we see? We saw Epstein-Barr viruses going through the ceiling. It's like, why? Where's this coming from? And we drew some non-specific conclusions, but here's the research. It's there. It's straight up. It tells you what's going on. And again, it goes to the point of why weren't we told that this herb, this Hypericum, commonly known as St. John's wort, you know, that's been used for a couple thousand years, going back to the days of the Greeks, was used for this. And we know that it's been used for depression and anxiety and sleep disorders and immunological support. And, you know, if you have a cold or something, that, you know, St. John's wort might be effective as well. And things that were causing kidney damage and the like, and it goes on and on and on, you know, even fibrositis and muscle cramping and, you know, going back to calling things like rheumatism and the like. We know those things existed, but we didn't know the impact. And somebody like me, and I have to apologize, you know, I should have known, right? Well, this is what I'm doing to myself. These are the things I'm saying. I should have known. And apparently I didn't. And until a couple of days ago, when I talked to a very dear friend who found out, and he does as much crazy research as I do. And he said, Tom, didn't you know? And I said, no, I didn't know. I know that it was used to support immune system. I know that it was used to, you know, to help in some viral, but the cold and maybe a little bit of flu. But I didn't know it had such a profound impact on Epstein-Barr. One of the things that I've used over the years after, you know, talking to a very dear friend is L-lysine, which we know stops the replication of any virus. And I learned this from another dear friend who said, years ago, that if you can stop the replication of the virus, particularly in Epstein-Barr and so forth, then you can use other things to make sure that it happens. Now, the side effects, with St. John's wort, with Hypericum, permanent long-lasting side effects are apparently nothing, according to the literature that we've read and that we've looked at. And there are various forms of it, but it has to be in combination. And then where my brain goes, well, what happens if we do with it, we combine it with things that we already know make a difference? Maybe we got a knockout punch here. Maybe we can do something. So this week we're putting together a protocol that is going to be very impactful in my opinion. We know that guys are using, you know, ozone therapies, and they're using all kinds of IB, they use, you know, methyl blue and all these things, which have a huge impact. But now we've got another weapon that I didn't know about, but I'll tell you what, we're going to be using it. We're going to be changing things as best we possibly can to help you and put all these things together. So, you know, send me your questions. We're coming up to a break. I'm here at 888-630-9625. If you have a quick question, let me know. Or you can get a hold of me when I'm not here by simply going to drtomrozelle.com and send me a note, and I promise you I'll answer it. Don't go away. I'll be right back with some more information for you.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard. And, you know, high noon, we're always here for you with the live show, trying to make everything that we do applicable to your life. And, you know, today's program was exactly that, because it got my attention very, very, very quickly. And what we're talking about is COVID. And we're talking about what activated all this long haul stuff, what made us so sick, why we got so sick. You know, you heard snips and pieces of it throughout, you know, the last 2.5 years. And you talked about interleukin 6, and you talked about, you know, the TNF alphas and so forth, all these things that can destroy your body. And we know that it was a coronavirus respiratory syndrome type of pattern. And everybody's going, but they're saying, oh, my God, shut down. Then pretty soon, you know, everything that I said over the last couple of years came true, you know, that, you know, the vaccines really don't work. They don't protect you from it. You know, finally Pfizer comes out and says, well, we only had like a 17 or 18% effectiveness rate. It doesn't stop anything. That we know that the people who have been vaxxed and boosted are the ones that are most susceptible, and they keep getting reinfected, if you will, like our dear president. And, you know, he's on what, his third round. So why is it that's happening? That's where my brain goes. Why? How come? What's going on? And what can we do? The body in my system of belief is has everything it ever needs to be able to protect itself. So if that's the case, why aren't we looking at that? And we did everything that we knew how to do. We, you know, we part of a research team with Oleander out of, you know, Phoenix Biotechnological Research Laboratories out of Houston. And we saw that extremely effective to stop the replication of the virus about 18,000 times within 24 to 30 hours. I did a whole presentation in front of 200 doctors last fall. You know, we were part of a team of getting this to people. The application of ozone therapies and methylene blue and IV drips with glutathione, upregulation of melatonin, all those things had a profound, profound effect in helping people, stimulating the upper part of the nervous system, the upper cervical spine, the cranial plates and so forth, had an effect of rebooting, if you will, the body's immunological responses. And that helped many, many people. So we were using everything we can, but I knew about Hypericum, St. John's Wort. I knew that it had a tremendous effect on many different things. But what I didn't know, the missing link was, and serendipitously, we saw the viral loads of Epstein-Barr virus starting to rise, but I didn't realize it was because of COVID. And I thought just because it was knocking out the immune system itself, now you didn't have the protective mechanism on these viral elements, and other things were coming about as well, and I can name several others. But the COVID vaccine itself had a direct impact, according to studies outside of the United States, on this long-haul situation, this activation of Epstein-Barr virus with all the side effects that it's had. I've been exposed to it, and I've, you know, since I was a kid, I had a certain level of EBV, and I had to do some blood work recently, and I said, I got to run mine. And I'm saying, oh my gosh, I said, my EBV load is up. And now I know why. And, or at least drawing conclusions from the research. And so much of this initially came out of Saudi Arabia. And, you know, we were talking and said, why is it that Saudi didn't have the death rate? Why didn't we hear much from the Middle East? Why didn't we hear about their absolute total lockdowns with their population? They didn't want people to come in, but there was a flexibility there that we didn't have otherwise. Look, I'm going to continue giving you all the data that I can possibly give you real time as I learn about it. We're going to put together a protocol this week. If we can help you, let us know. I'll be back next week with some very, very important information as we move forward in making you our number one priorities. This is Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Remember, I continue to do this for one reason only. I love you all.